going to have our next talk. Before we do that, though, I would like to extend our thanks to our tech, Kate, who has been working hard with everybody's different formats and computers here today. The next talk is George W. Johnson's Lundu, Early Brazilian Recordings, presented by Carlos Palombini. Carlos is a distinguished discographical researcher based in Brazil, and he's an associate professor of musicology in the music school of the Federal University of Minas Gerais. He's an expert on the pioneering electronic music of Pierre Schaeffer and a longtime member of the Brazilian Group for Electronic Music Research, but in his secret life. He has presented talks and written articles for journals about race and ethnicity in Brazilian music, and that is the whole of Brazilian music all the way up to today. Fascinating stuff. And today he's going to be speaking on the subject of some of the earliest Brazilian recordings and a voice that is probably familiar to many of us, Dr. Palombini.
Good afternoon. It's a bit difficult for me to talk about Johnson here. I've talked about this particular song many times, but everybody here knows the song, so the end, that which is normally the end when I speak about this song, is already known in advance by most of you. So I'll start by talking a bit about my present research so that you may understand where this song fits. I'm presently doing research on a kind of music known as funk carioca. I don't know whether you've heard about it. It started as a musical genre in 1989 from more or less copying a variety of American hip hop known as Miami bass. Presently, it's a reason of much concern, even by the law, the police, because there is a subgenre of funk carioca known as funk proibido, literally forbidden funk, or more familiarly as proibidão, which would mean big forbidden thing. This kind of funky, it speaks about drugs and the drug factions in Brazil. More recently, in December last year, a group of singers, MCs, was put into jail because of singing this kind of songs, which I find absurd. There is, perhaps you'll be familiar here with Narco Corrido, which, as far as the subject is concerned, is more or less similar, but as far as the music is concerned, is quite different. I think the sound of funk carioca is very original. In particular, the sound of this kind of funk carioca, which deals with the drug factions. So what does all this have to do with George Washington Johnson? Well, I'll get back then to the beginning of the story. It all started with a disc I inherited from my great-grandfather, who was Italian, married to a German woman. They were both immigrants, and he had an interesting collection, which consisted mostly of Italian opera combined with his wife's German brass band march. And among these records, there was an oddity. I'll show you the label. That's the record. The record I listened to since I was 6 years old. That's 1964, the year of the Brazilian military coup. This record always fascinated me, and I've spent many years trying to find out what it was. And just more recently, with the internet, things started becoming clear little by little. About 6 years ago, I came across a recording of George Washington Johnson's Laughing Song, and to my great surprise, it was the same music. At the same time, I discovered Tim Brooke's work and the work of the University of California, Santa Barbara. And then I turned this record into a subject of research, which, strange as it may seem, fits into the Funk Carioca project. Why? Because Funk Carioca, as a musical genre, it starts by copying Miami bass. In the same way, Eduardo das Neves, which was a professional clown, a black man, a singer, and one of the first, just like Johnson, one of the first stars of the phonographic industry in Brazil, he copied George Washington Johnson. Not just himself, but many others did. So that Gargalhada, which means laughter, ended up becoming a musical genre in its own right. It's an odium, probably. It was pressed in Brazil. Yes, it was pressed in Brazil. Let's listen to it then. Do I need to play George Washington Johnson's song to compare with? Is it useful?
As I was coming around the corner, I heard some people say, "If I'm standing out here, he comes this way." He's a healer like a snowplow, his mouth is like a trap, and when he moves, it gets me or me. Very good, Daddy. Very good, Daddy.
So let's hear Neves' song.
Chaleira, canceleta por Eduardo das Neves, para Cabeça, Rio de Janeiro. Neste século tempo di progresso nesta terra intera, tem feito grande sucesso, tal pega na chaleira. Nesta terra de progresso, nesta terra intera, tem feito grande sucesso, tal pega na chaleira. Pega o padre, um sacristão, e esse é o seu vigário. E o vigário pega o papa. Padre monstro que só fala na missa e no breviário, quer subir e está pegando na chaleira do vigário. Padre monstro que só fala na missa e no breviário, quer subir e está pegando na chaleira do vigário. Tudo pega na chaleira, pega o bispo ao vigário. Tudo pega, tudo pega. Tudo pega na chaleira, meu Deus, tudo. Bispo que anda a correr mundo, que a crisma é seu ideal, pega a chaleira no fundo, bem do seu cardeal. Bispo que anda a correr mundo, que a crisma é seu ideal, pega a chaleira no fundo, bem do cardeal. Tudo pega na chaleira. O bispo é o sacristão. Tudo pega na chaleira. Vigário que a lei sagrada só leva contando a tese. Está pegando na chaleira.
The lyrics should be obscure to you. They were obscure to myself. For a long time, he used an expression which was already outmoded in 64 when I started listening to this song. Literally translated, it means to pick up the kettle, which means actually bootlicking. So it's he's making fun of what I think remains up to date, a general trait of Brazilian society. So in short, he says that everybody does it. So he lists various kinds of people, from the military, from the church, etc., saying that everybody licks everybody's boots. That's what he sings. But that was, well, when was the song recorded? The Odeon catalog, there are not precise dates for recordings because no one knows exactly where the ledgers are. So the Discografia Brasileira, which is the main source for the 1878, states that this series, 108,000, it was recorded between 1907 and 1912. I believe the recording was made in 1906 for one reason. There is a run of 15 recordings by Neves on various subjects, of which Gargalhada Loafer is part. And two of the subjects can be precisely dated. On the other hand, Neves was known and he prided himself in always singing what was happening at the time it was happening. So because of that, I think it's certain that Gargalhada was recorded in the second half of 1906. The other songs, one of them is called the Aquidabã, which is the name of a ship which exploded, and one knows exactly at what time, at what date. And the other refers to a famous crime in which two teenage boys were murdered, were strangled in Rio. And that's called Rio Stranglers. And we also know the exact date and even the time when that happened. When was it sold? We don't have all of Casa Edson, which was responsible for Odeon release. We don't have all of them of their catalogs, but they are present in all catalogs we have from 1902 as a cylinder. One does not know what was on that cylinder because, according to Umberto Franceschi, who published two books on Casa Edson, Brazilian cylinders were made of hard wax inside, covered with a softer thin of wax, and heat made the hard wax dilate more than the soft wax. So according to Franceschi, all of Brazilian cylinders are unplayable because they are all broke. But on the other catalogs, up to 1926, the song is present. And the interesting thing is that it appears always as a lundu. It's interesting because the lundu is considered the paradigmatically Afro-Brazilian genre. And it appears as such mostly in nationalistic histories of Brazilian popular music. So when I present this work in Brazil, it's always as a kind of provocation to Brazilian historiography, because I'm showing that what is paradigmatically Afro-Brazilian is actually North American. And being North American is kind of taboo for the nationalistic histories of Brazilian music. Well, that's not the only thing Neves' song gave rise to. Johnson's song gave rise to. Neves wrote another two poems. By the way, in this case, I don't think either the music or the lyrics, I'm sure the music is not his, and the lyrics are probably not either. So he's just a singer. But he was a poet. He published a few books of poetry, one in 1903, another a bit later. And there are at least two such poems described as gargalhada, which could be sung to George Washington Johnson's music, with laughter included. One of them has to do with the Spanish-American War, and the other has to do with the fight for the possession of the Acre territory in Brazil, which was a conflict between Brazil and Bolivia for a portion of the Amazon forest. I don't know any recordings of these, but I know other recordings which also make use of Johnson's music, for instance. This one is exactly the same music with a similar loafer, and it's about yellow fever. So it's about a campaign against yellow fever in Rio, probably around 1903.
A febre amarela, Embaixada Rio Geraldo para Cadesto, Rio de Janeiro. Hoje em dia é vosso rei, acabou-se a sua guerra, porque montou brevemente, não há mais febre amarela, em tornou-se todo caldo, e o mosquito já não grita, porque o grande mestre Osvaldo vai dar cabo da maldita, pois se comia, foi de embrulho, passeata, uma nata fez barulho, arrumou-se a grande lata, fiz Osvaldo da amarela, que lhe tira o seu tupete, antes de 7 de março de 1917. Só em compra, sem soldado, o soberbo figurão, ratos 300 réis, camondongo.
There's another one, which is about mandatory vaccination, which gave rise to a rebellion in Brazil in the first decade of the 20th century. It used the same music, but no lofa.
A vacina obrigatória. Cantado pelo Pedro Mário para casa Edson, Rio de Janeiro. Ando o povo acelerado com horror a palmatória, por causa desta lambança da vacina obrigatória. Os manatas da sabência estão teimando desta vez em meter o ferro a pulso bem no braço do freguês. E os doutores da higiene vão deitando logo a mão, sem saberem se o sujeito quer levar o ferro ou não. Seja moça ou seja velho, ou mulatinha que tem visto, homem sério, tudo, tudo leva ferro que é serviço.
So, the next one does not use Johnson's music, but it's a piece about lofa itself.
Avisada, cantada por Edmundo André, para casa Edson, Rio de Janeiro. Eu começo por dizer que já estou rindo de perder. Bem, bem que isso deve amolar, mas é que eu não posso parar. O caso é que assim que nasci, pra todo mundo lá eu me vi. E desde então para cá, outro como eu pra vir não há. Seja graça, seja massa, eu não posso me conter. Já me vi sem querer. Outro dia, por ser da dama, fiquei com o coração em chama.
And the last one is again by Eduardo das Neves. It does not use Johnson's music either, but there is some lofa, and the subject is electoral fraud, quite contemporary subject.
Faltam certos fatos nesse Rio de Janeiro. Correm tanto boato que circulam o mundo inteiro. Agora, nessa época de tantas revoluções, o caso que nos inspira é o das tais eleições. Ora, DJ Tintum, porque quem foi eleito foi o seu plano de sandóis, carapuça, etc. e tal, general. E o outro, não, senhor. Quem foi eleito foi o senhor de Andóis, Carapuça, etc. e tal, seguinte. Ora, senhor, eu então entro no meio sempre dessas conversações com meus camaradas. Sabe quem foi eleito? Fui eu, pelo Estado Maior da cidade de Bananeiras, onde eu sou vereador municipal, sou intendente e sou general, sou comandante das forças em operações. Eu estou dizendo que ficam todos babosos
pela minha alta posição e eu saio rindo, me dando. Oh, que grande soleirão! Acredita em eleição! Isso não passa de brincadeira!
The last sentence he says is that if elections were serious, my grandmother would be defense minister. Well, that's what I have found in a collection of ancient sound recordings. I didn't do systematic research. I just browsed the collection and I found all that. And that's how then a song gives rise to a musical subgenre of which no one speaks any longer in Brazil. It's forgotten. But to finish, I would like to show you something else. It puzzles me that this record was in my great-grandfather's collection because it has nothing to do with anything else. But there is a Luchino Visconti film, which you may have seen, Death in Venice, which should happen, the scene should take place in 1911. If it's actually Mahler, the character in question. And you see there, in Italy, the same kind of loafer. Thanks for your attention. No, actually not. But it's not difficult to find out because there are some of the catalogs. There is the catalog of sales, Casa Edison sales, and they sold not only Odeon discs. So there is catalog for 1900, there is no catalog, just the cover. 1902, there is the cylinders catalog. After that, there is 14, 15, 16, 18, and some of the 20s, up to 26. So it's not difficult to find out. That's curious because something I wanted to show, but I forgot to do. That's two images from the 1902 catalog. Well, that's Eduardo das Neves' name above the Gargalhada recording. 2 pages before that, one has George Washington Johnson, but his name is not there, and it's presented as Gargalhadas Inglesas, which means English laughter. And there's not particularly British about his appearance there. Yes?
What company catalog is that?
That's the Odeon catalog. Actually, not the Odeon, it's the Casa Edison, which was responsible for the Odeon catalog. Actually, they created the Odeon catalog in Brazil. They recorded and released it. The records were pressed in Germany until 1913, he opened a Brazilian plant. Yes, please.
The 2 pieces you played that had laughing coupled with yellow fever and the campaign for mandatory vaccination, how did the lyrics work against the laughter?
Yeah.
Why laughing? Or?
Because he says, well, it's something, it's a tradition in Brazilian music. It's always there is a double meaning all the time. And this double meaning is often of a sexual character.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.